Hello, everybody. This is Worlds of Books. Today's date is April 16th, 2024. Yes, yesterday was tax day, and we're all hissing about that. But anyway, hopefully nobody had to pay money. But today we are discussing the book, Have You Seen Louise Velez? By Catherine Ryan Hyde. Is that right? Did I get her name right, Sally? Is that right? Okay, good. And I've got a little bio information on her, and I've got a really long character list, most of which made an appearance for about 3 seconds and were never heard from again, but I wrote her down. So, but anyway, hopefully I've got everybody, but if not, y'all can add too. Let me see. Let me listen to my. Hang on. Pardon my. All right. Let me listen to this bio real quick again, real quick, because I don't remember it.
Description. Catherine Ryan Hyde left Barrett, born 1955, right Barrett is an American novelist and short story writer with more recent forays and notable success in transitioning from traditional publication towards the world of ebook publication. Her novels have enjoyed bestseller status in both the U.S. and U.K., and her short stories have won many awards and honors. Her book, Pay It Forward, was later adapted into a film of the same name with her novel, Electric God, is currently in development.
Okay, so, sorry about that. I listened to this earlier, but I didn't memorize it all. Catherine Ryan Hyde, born 1955, so she's a couple of years older than me, but y'all don't have to remember that or tell anybody how old I am. But anyway, she's an American novelist. She writes novels and short stories, and she's won awards for both. I think her most notable work is probably Pay It Forward, which was made into a movie a few years back, starring Helen Hunt and Kevin Spacey and Haley Joel Osment was the kid in it. It has, I mean, a good story with a sucky ending, but you know, that's just my opinion. But anyway, and then one of her other stories is being made into a novel now, and I've already forgotten the name of it. Electric something, let's see. Electric, you know, wait.
Enjoyed bestseller status in both the U.S. and U.K., and her short stories have won many awards and honors. Her book, Pay It Forward, was later adapted into a film of the same name, and her novel, Electric God, occurred in the
Electric God is currently in production, I think. So, anyway, I don't know anything about her other works and stuff. I know I really enjoyed this book, though, and if she's written other stuff that's like this, then I think I probably want to read some more of her stuff. You know, I saw the movie Pay It Forward a long time ago. I never ever read the novel, but let's see. She was raised in the Buffalo, New York area, lived a brief period of time in New York City, but that obviously had a big effect on her because a lot of her novels are set in New York, as is this one. She lives in the California area now, or has lived in California for a number of years. When growing up in her early life, she was a dog trainer. She worked at a bakery. And then what else did she do? There's one other thing she did. All right. Well, never mind. I have to listen to that. It's going to take me forever. And she did one other thing too. Bakery, dog trainer, and something else. But whatever. I can't remember. So anyway, I'm making a pig's breakfast of her biography. But anyway, that's about all I got. She's been very successful and very popular, and as I think it made the Wikipedia article said that she's made her strides a lot and instead of traditional publications, I think she got onto the EPUB world fairly early on and stuff. So, but anyway, okay. So that is enough about her. So let's go over the main character list that I've got. Let's see. Raymond Jaffe, the main character, the 70-year-old nice young man who, what a nice guy, very helpful guy, and struggling, trying to figure out his way in the world, but willing to help, and becomes a great friend of Mildred Gutterman, who is the 92-year-old blind woman that's trying to find out where Luis Velez is that used to help her. Okay. So Mildred, I mentioned. Let's see. Andre has a brief appearance at the beginning of the book. He's like Raymond's best friend, but then he moves away like in the first section of the book to California, and he's gone. He's out of it. I think Raymond Skypes him maybe one time, but that's about it.
That's a 10-minute appearance.
Yeah, right. Clarissa is Raymond's youngest half-sister. Ed, Raymond's stepfather. Ed, I didn't care too much for. He was kind of a jerk. He was a jerk, yeah. Rhonda is Raymond's oldest half-sister. Wendy is Raymond's middle half-sister. Sophia Velez. You know, when Raymond's trying to hunt down Luis Velez, he meets all these various Luis Velez characters. And this one family was so nice. They invited him into the house. Let's see. Sophie was a mother. She made chocolate cake and insisted that Raymond eat a big piece. And they were just lovely. Louisa was the daughter that kind of ended up getting a crush on Raymond from that same family. Oh, and she also gave Raymond her St. Jude medal. Is that right? St. Jude? Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Patron saint of lost causes. Yeah. Yep. Luis Miguel Velez is the one that was actually killed that the book's title is named after.
Luis Miguel Velez. Luis was the final character killed.
Yeah. Luis Manuel Velez. Luis Manuel Velez is the I think the young guy that he and his wife tell Raymond that he's the one that lets him know about it. He read that article in the paper about the guy being murdered and stuff. So he's the one that kind of turns Raymond on to what happened. Louise is Mildred's cat, who I dearly love. Isabel Velez is the wife of the Louise character that was killed. And she's pregnant, and she gives birth to their third child during the course of the book. Malcolm is Raymond's dad, who's a dentist. Nisha, Raymond's stepmom, who's a turd, but anyway, I didn't care for her.
No.
Jay Truesdale is the female cop that's pregnant. That it ends up being really nice, but she's obviously smitten with Isabel when she walks in about to give birth, and you know, puts her hand on her baby bump and everything. But she was nice. Miss Vivian Hatfield, the ones that kills Raymond because she's scared of her own damn shadow.
No, Luis.
The kills Luis. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Mr. Adler, he's the guy that testified that witnessed the killing and stuff. I really liked him. He kept interjecting his own comments and stuff, but I liked what he had to say. Mr. Newman, who is the prosecuting attorney, who I really liked and I thought did a good job with the trial. Ms. Evans, the social studies teacher, who was also a jerk, gave Raymond a C- for his excellent paper on the trial. Mr. Bernstein, the English teacher, who I did like because he gave Raymond a good grade and was real honest with him about the whole subject and stuff and about what a good job Raymond did on his paper. Luis Javier Velez is the attorney that Raymond met during the course of his investigation that ends up recommended today. Anyway, did I get lost? I had a phone call I had to get out of. Am I still here?
You're okay. Still here.
Okay, all right. Send it to voicemail. Okay. Okay, and that's my character list.
There was one more Luis, the the skinhead, the yeah, one that yeah. terrorized him, but I don't yeah. remember what his middle name was.
Yeah, I'm not sure they gave us his middle name. Yeah, he was. Yeah, I think he was kind of playing with him more than really threatening him. But it was kind of iffy for a while. But he scared
really
Raymond.
Scared yeah. Raymond.
He really did. Yeah,
he knocked really him down. He knocked him on his butt.
But
which wasn't good.
No, that was not good. But anyway, so
his head.
True. That's true. So okay. Well, that's what I've got. And if anybody else pops in your mind as we discuss it, let us know. But I'm just gonna go through the list and call on people if that's okay.
Yep.
And okay. Sure. Let's see. I'm gonna go at the lower end, so I'm gonna call on Sally Rosenthal first. Area code 215. Sally.
Okay. I really like this book. I'd never read anything by her before, but I'd read more. What I really liked was the emphasis on kindness between people one-on-one and how that was in a contrast between the real cruelty and prejudice of society. I thought she did a really good idea, really good way of bringing that out. My favorite characters were Raymond, Mildred, and Louise the cat, of course. I really thought that the trial was not going to go well, but I was still disappointed in the way that it went. And I liked the book a lot. I thought it gave a lot of good ideas about how people do things when they're blind, and Raymond had a really good sense of what to do. And about all I have.
Okay. Very good comments. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And let's why see. Am I on the low end?
No,
the bottom of the list.
No,
of my height.
I'm going in ascending order, and you come first okay. alphabetically or numerically. So there. Is that ordered better?
That was a good save, Alan.
Yeah. So, thank you,
very
Jenna.
Good. You notice, Alan, yeah. I didn't pick on you on that one.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally. So thank you, Sally. And
there just
you.
To stir up trouble.
Yes. Thank you, Deanna. Thank you, Deanna, for not picking on me. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Joni, who comes next numerically in the list. Yeah.
Well,
or Judy. I mean, either one of Joni or Judy, whichever one you want to go.
Oh, I'll talk first. Okay. No, let Judy talk first.
Oh, you took.
No, go ahead, Jude.
Okay, well, she called me and told me how much she loved the book and didn't just love it. She loved it. And she said, you have to read it. So I turned it on. I read it in like a day and a little bit the next day. And then I wouldn't listen to the end. And she said, read it. I want you to know what happens. And I said, I don't want it to end. And that's exactly how I loved the book. I just loved the characters. Raymond was wonderful. Yeah. If I ever meet another man, I want him to be like Raymond. Very special. And Mildred was just wonderful. The things that she told him and the things she said were so, you had to really listen to her because she really knew what she was talking about. And they didn't give too much information, but on the other hand, they gave enough where you knew what was happening. And I thought it was written very well. I thought it was very easy to understand, and I just loved it.
Very excellent comments. Thank you. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. That makes me feel really good. And so over to you, Joni.
Well, I absolutely loved this book. I thought that it was extremely well written, well thought out. I thought she did a great job with talking about Millie, the blind woman. There were a couple things, but I don't even know what they were, that were could have been handled better, but for the most, as far as the blindness was concerned,
right.
But I really thought she did a wonderful job, and my favorite character was Louise the cat. And I thought that cat was so fantastic because she realized that she had to be out of Millie's way, and Millie was so scared that she might hurt the cat or the cat might hurt her. And of course, I loved Raymond. I wasn't very happy with his mother or his awful stepmother. His stepfather was really, really awful. But Millie was a strong woman, and she lived through so much. And the librarian was good to Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved the whole thing. There's probably more that I could say. I got Judy to read it, and I will get other people to read the book if I can. I think it could be the best book that I read this year so far.
Outstanding. Well, I got to give credit to Jane Corona, who recommended it in another book group that I'm in. So I did not come up with this one myself, but I read it for that other book group and I liked it so much. I said, you know, we got to read that for Worlds of Books. Cause I know that there's just so much good to talk about in this book. And I know the folks that come to this group will like it. And, I agree. I thought, I mean, you know, I developed my vision loss later in life and stuff, but from what everything I've heard I've hung around a lot of blind folks for a long time now, and everything I've heard, I thought she did an excellent job describing this woman's situation. The only thing I thought where she dropped a little bit, this woman was so daggum smart. I mean, she was so sharp. I thought it was a little unbelievable that she didn't figure out that she could put a bell on her cat without Raymond mentioning it. And I thought, yeah, okay. I think they're giving Raymond some credit there that, surely she would have known, figured that out herself. But I just thought she just did a real good job of describing Mildred. And she was obviously the smartest character in the whole book. And just I just thought she did an excellent job portraying her. So anyway, well, good. I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Johnny. Excellent comments.
Let's see.
David Fauché.
Hello. No, I wasn't actually able to read it. And I talked to you about that in an email and you said I should come anyway and listen. Yeah, so I'm listening.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, we're glad you're here. So, There is no requirement that you've read the book.
I hadn't been to Worlds in a long time, so it's nice to come by.
Yeah, and I think if you get a chance, I think you'd like this book. So
I have it on my to-be-read list.
Good. So I hope you can get to it and enjoy it. Let's see, Deanna Noriega.
Well, there was one character that I misunderstood, and that was the lawyer. I thought at first that he was a gangster or something.
Now, there were several lawyers. Which lawyer are you talking about?
The Luis Velez lawyer.
The Luis Javier Velez, the one that.
Yes.
You thought he was a gangster for sticking money in people's pockets and stuff?
No, because of the way he lived. He lived in a really high-end apartment.
Okay.
He had two attack-trained dogs to protect his wife.
Oh, yeah, right.
And when he came in, he didn't like the fact that she'd let Raymond into the apartment and was feeding him breakfast.
Right.
And, you know, it was just like he was highly suspicious and highly protective of himself and his wife.
Yeah.
And
right.
He didn't like people to know that he had a generous streak. So I just kind of pegged him as maybe some kind of high-end drug dealer or something.
Oh, no.
Because he came in so macho and tough, you know, and intimidated Raymond before he figured out that Raymond was really no threat to his wife or him or anybody else, and that he was doing good things just because he was a good kid.
Yeah.
And, then he helped him out twice with money because he just liked him.
Yeah,
But in the beginning, I thought I didn't pick up on the fact that he was a lawyer. I thought he was a gangster.
Okay. And I like that scene where the wife invited him in. But she obviously she obviously had some issues, worried about him being involved with another woman and stuff. And then when she got the whole story and found out that it was a 92-year-old woman that was the female involved, she fed Raymond a nice breakfast, and I don't know,
Eggs Benedict.
that scene with the dogs was kind of cool, I thought. But that was a pretty good scene.
There's some excellent drawing of very different. I know one of the characters you forgot, the violin, the cellist.
Oh, the cellist, yeah.
That was playing outside of the subway. Yeah.
Right.
He was an interesting character in his own right, too.
I probably didn't write him down because he was never named. But that's my excuse. But anyway,
I forgot about him.
Yeah.
No, but he gave her a great gift. And the waiter from the nearby restaurant that came out and brought her a chair so she could sit and listen to the cellist play.
You know, very nice.
And the people that Sophia and her family throwing a block party to raise funds for the widow.
Right.
That they hadn't even met yet. just some really wonderful people who, if you paid attention, you saw that there was balance, that for as many wicked people in the world, there were good people, that all they had to be, all that they needed to have done was to have them shown what they could do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Good comments. Excellent comments. Any others before we go to the next person?
That's it for me. Those are the points I wanted to make.
Very nice. Thank you, Deanna. Okay, let's see. All right, here we go. Jana Luttrell.
Okay, Alan Limley.
Okay.
My echo is going off. Goodness. Okay. Anyway, I did like this book also. I didn't realize at first that she was the one who wrote Pay It Forward, and I got a little ways into the book before I realized that. This book was written in a very kind of simple, very, very readable style, but it really covered some heavy issues, like mostly racism.
Right.
And I thought the idea of tribalism was sort of interesting, and you know how we don't judge people who are like us in the same way as we do others, and which in this book mostly translated to racism, and really demonstrated with that one teacher who didn't like his paper about tribalism. It really showed how narrow-minded people can be and how they're unwilling to consider someone else's perspective.
Right.
I really liked the way that Raymond evolved in the book. He started out being very shy and not someone who was all that responsive to other people. And by the time you got to the end of the book, he could not do enough for the person that he loved so much. And I just thought that evolution was really, I don't know. I thought it was just very touching. It was really, really amazing. That's about all I have to say. I thought this was a really good book.
Yeah, good comments. Right. One thing about Raymond, he was apologizing for every damn thing. Which I kept thinking, if it had been cloudy on April 8th, he'd have been out there apologizing that people couldn't see the eclipse. I mean, I felt so bad for him because he had a great soul and he was just a kind, nice guy, but he just, I don't know, he took on too much
responsibility. I think it was his mother's fault because she was so critical and always suspected the worst of everybody around her. It's kind of amazing that Malcolm, his father, married two difficult women, one after the other.
His dad wasn't great at picking wives, I don't think. But, no. Good points. Yeah. But okay. All right. Let's see. Good comments, Jana. Let's see who's next. LaDon.
Yes, I thought this was an excellent book. If you've been reading a lot of crime novels and about death and you're on the edge of your nerves and everything, this was a great book to settle down and read. Raymond was a boy, multiracial boy, trying at the age where everybody's trying to figure out where do I fit in into the world. Mm-hmm. And he happened to be in a family that wasn't particularly close, loving. Some families are real loving and other families are not. That didn't mean that his mother didn't love him. She just didn't show affection that way. And the fact that he should be involved with a 92-year-old blind woman was very exceptional. And that's what made this story, is that he was a special person, and as he worked his way through trying to find the man that he was looking for, he kind of found himself there a little bit with her help, because 92 years of experience meant something, and she was very good at passing it on. I thought the book was voiced very nicely and by the narrator, that kept me into the characters. You know, I knew who I was talking. I never got confused. It was voiced very nicely. And the thing that I didn't like about it was the end, that they they were at the party and they walked into the sunset. Just walked, kind of like she said, well, phooey, what am I going to write now? You know, she's going to have to come to her death. A 92-year-old lady is not going to live forever. So she didn't quite know how to write that. So they just had him walking in. I found that not satisfying. That's me.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. All right. Good comments. But I'd much rather them leave the ending like that rather than having kill off Mildred and stuff. But I mean,
she would have to die sometime. I look forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I knew that they would come out with innocent. Somehow I just knew that that would be innocent at the trial. Right. If it were guilty, almost be the end of the story, but you know, go on. So it had to be that way. It was so unfair. Ruling.
It would not have bothered me if she'd put a sentence or two in at the end saying, and the civil litigation went through, mm-hmm. and they took the woman for every dollar she had.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of leaving that up in the air. But I mean, she kind of left that as the expected ending, because the attorney was so confident. You know, he was like 90-something% certain that they were going to win. But yeah.
Tell him that they'll just leave her enough money and get on. She ain't going to be taking no long vacations or nothing, because they're not going to have mother money. Yeah. So they're going to at least do that. You know, if she would have went on and continued the books, they could have won that case. I thought that was neat. So that's one thing. I thought she just run out of place and just walked him into the sunset.
She also did have the scene where she talked about her death. She said she was planning to live to be 100, so that he would be in his 20s and a little bit more able to handle it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen. You know, she was very realistic that 92, she was somewhat frail and, you know, had a lot of things to deal with. But now she had two really important friends, and she had Isabel and the children. I mean, she had a lot of people in her life because of Raymond's efforts to help her solve her mystery of what happened to her friend.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Excellent comments, LaDon. Marsha Moses.
Well, everybody pretty much has said what I was thinking, but.
Well, you can say it again. You can say it again.
I really enjoyed the book, and I did read Pay It Forward. I don't remember if I saw the movie, but I did read the book, and it kind of reminded me with the human relationships and that kind of thing, and kindness and helping others, and they kind of reminded me of each other. Although in the book, Pay It Forward, the ending sucked in the book too. But as far as I thought one of the coolest parts was toward the end when Isabel had her son, and she says, "I'm going to name him Raymond." And Raymond says, no, well, there's got to be another way. I don't remember exactly how he put it. She says, okay, I'll name him Ramon. Yeah. I just thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
And Mildred was wonderful. I wish they would have gone into just a little more background on her, like how long she'd been blind, and a little more of her younger life. And she did mention her husband and everything, but I wish there would have just been a little bit more biographical information on her.
Yeah. Yeah. She was a wonderful character. She really was.
And of course, Louise the cat was great. And Raymond brought her to Mildred. And that opened, I'm sure Louise had a much longer and happier life than she would have had being, the stray as she was. So that was good. She ended up with a good home, and Mildred was a good cat parent. So that was great.
Yeah. And the author really works the Louise name into the book. I'm telling you, we had all these Louise Velezes. We had Louise the cat. We had Louisa the daughter with the St. Jude medal. They were everywhere. So that was a nice touch. But anyway, okay, good comments, Marsha. Thank you, Pat and Tom.
Okay, I really liked the book very much, too. A lot of, people have said, but Raymond, of course, he was a wonderful character. And he, like you said, at first, he was feeling awkward all the time, like not belonging anywhere and apologizing for everything. And he was... I think that had a lot to do with his mother and stepfather, that the reason why he was feeling that way, and Mildred really helped him along in his development into the man that he was becoming, when he was helping her out. And I did like his dad, though. His dad was good.
Yeah.
Raymond's dad. Right. And also like the lawyer Velez. He was really good, and even also a good character was the prosecutor in the trial.
Newman,
really good character. And the teacher, the English teacher, not the social studies one.
Bernstein.
Yeah. He was really good too.
Yeah.
So those were, my favorite characters. And then, the attorney's wife too. Sophia, she was really good too. And,
She was not the attorney's wife. She was the first, she was the one that made the chocolate cake, right? Sophia, is that right?
Yeah.
And I think,
Louisa's mother and
I think he was some kind of, I don't think her husband was some kind of laborer or I'm not sure what he did, but he wasn't an attorney, I don't think.
He was just a good father who regretted that he didn't have the time or the energy to do more good things himself.
Right. He had all those kids. But anyway. Lots of good characters, lots of good secondary characters in this book.
Very, very much. I did have one question for you though. This is a little bit off topic, but I was wondering when you get the bios for the authors, you usually get them from Wikipedia.
I usually do, and it just depends on the age of the author and stuff. This woman's a little bit older. I mean, she was born in 55, and I've noticed that a lot of the younger authors lately, sometimes they're not as prevalent on Wikipedia as some of the older ones and stuff. So a lot of times I'll do a Google search and I'll just put their names in quotes followed by the word bio and then see what comes up. A lot of times it'll take me to their own web pages and stuff and to some kind of publisher page. It varies, but you usually can call out some kind of information, but Wikipedia is where I got this information.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Okay. We're 92% through the book. So I haven't actually come to the end yet.
Okay. All right. Well, Tom, you want to comment?
I was half not into the book somehow, with other things going on. But
he was in the hospital for a little while.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So there was an interruption in reading it.
Yeah. Okay. Quite up to par with characters and all that.
Right. I understand. Well, maybe you can get back to it and finish it up. And I think it's one you probably like, because it's like Pat was saying, it's got a lot of good stuff. But your health's got to come first. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll go on to the next person then. Let's see. Hang on. What happened, everybody? People have moved around. Okay. I think area code 407 is probably Shirley Roberts. Is that right? Shirley.
It is.
Okay.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I did really like the book. I got a little confused with all the Louis Velez's.
Yeah, there were lots of them.
There were just a couple too many of those for me.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really did like the book. Raymond was a darn good kid. It was a shame he was from such a dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
But he was really a good kid. I think he and his dad would have done okay if it wouldn't have been for that stepmother of his. And I think his mother was even kind of trying at the end, but she was a little late in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
I was a little disappointed in the end. I'm glad I'm glad Millie didn't die. I thought she might. I guess I'm kind of glad she didn't. But there were a couple other things that, would have been nice to have seen happen. As far as that case actually being won and all that stuff, what can I say? I like happy endings. But all in all, it didn't end up too bad. You felt fairly positive at the end. I thought that we were going to hear more about Millie's background. I was kind of curious As someone else said, you know, when did she lose her vision? It talked about how long she had lived in that apartment and everything, and that she never had kids. So, you know, could she not have kids, or did she not have them because she was losing her vision at the time or whatever? I was kind of curious about that. It did mention that she had had a husband. I thought we were going to hear more about her experiences around wartime, although, of course, I realized as it got more into the book that she managed to get out of there. It did say in one of the synopses that I read that she, you know, narrowly escaped or something, you know, the war. So obviously she got out of there before... you know, she had to get involved in all that. I thought at first we were going to be reading about, you know, experiences that she had had during that time. But so I'm not even really sure why that whole thing was even in the story, because it didn't play that much of a part, you know, about when she came over and everything. But obviously she did have a past that went with all that. And... you know, that cellist certainly brought out, you know, emotions for both her and Raymond. That was kind of interesting, too. And I had seen the movie Pay It Forward. I never read the book. I've had it downloaded for a long time. And once I read that she was the same writer that wrote that, it all kind of fit together. I thought, oh, I guess I'm just not that surprised. You know, I thought that was an excellent, excellent movie. One of those movies that, you know, I'm one of those weird people that cries sometimes at the end of movies. And that's one of those that definitely gets to me. So, and I guess I have a quick question. It's slightly off topic, and you can answer it with a yes or no, one word for me, because I'm kind of curious about something. Are Judy and Joni related?
Yeah, we're sisters.
Yes.
Thought so. I don't want to belabor that, but thought you might be. I think it's the first time I've ever heard Judy.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought Judy, you guys might be. So
second Sunday of each month we have a banquet of books, and Judy always comes to that. And Joni's a facilitator and host of that. So,
I knew.
Yes, Shirley, I'd love you to come into banquet.
Yeah, yeah, pardon? Yeah.
And come back to the Jewish hour, too. We miss you.
Yeah, I do that every once in a while. I don't get there often enough either.
Okay.
But I do every so often. Anyway, I don't want to get off topic here, but I appreciate it very much. And, you know, thanks a lot for putting it together, Alan.
Okay, good comment, Shirley. You're welcome anytime through any of our groups. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you. And
happy Passover.
Too many
Shirley.
Books, I just can't get them all read. I'm sorry, Joni.
I just said happy Passover.
Oh, you too. Thank you to both of you. Anyway, there are so many book clubs, and I'll try to read one from one group, and maybe one from another one for the next time. I just can't keep up with that many of them, so that's why I don't show up a lot. And I know some clubs are not too happy if you come and haven't read it. So I never know how the groups feel.
We don't care.
Well, in Banquet, can come if you've read something. If you haven't, if you just want to listen, that's fine.
Okay, great. I appreciate that. And Alan, I got the impression you said the same thing about this one. So
we don't. I mean, I'm in all the Accessible World book groups, whether I'm the facilitator or not. If anybody gives you any grief about not reading the book, let me know, and I'll get up
I'll
their ass
them
and tell
to
them
Alan.
To back off.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you.
Okay, Shelley Kane.
Okay, I thoroughly can you hear me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Wasn't sure if I was unmuted because I had to mute a couple times. I thoroughly enjoyed this book. Whoever recommended it, thank you. There were so many different emotions in this book. The little old lady was just my favorite character. I can't imagine what she went through when she was looking for her friend Luis Velez. You know, when somebody's helping you for a while and then they vanish off. I'm sure she was thinking all kinds of, you know, she probably thought maybe he got bored helping her. You know, maybe he, something happened to him, like we all know happened. You know, she didn't know. And it was really, I think, courageous of her to come out of the apartment not being able to see. And when she heard voices to ask Raymond for help, because, you know, when you can't see, you don't know where people are. You got to listen for the voice. And his friend didn't want to stop when it moved to Andre, I think, when he moved to California. He didn't want Raymond to stop. And Raymond's like, no, I'm stopping. I got to see what's going on. And from then on, that kid just hit it. He knocked it out of the park for me. You don't see many teenagers like that willing to form help somebody or even to form a friendship with an old lady. What he did was just out of this world. You know, just everything, finding Luis Velez, all these people he went through, walking through New York and trying to get cabs, and his parents wondering what's going on with you. You got a girlfriend, what's happening? You know, all this thing, he just went the extra mile, and you don't see that in today's world. You just don't. So I really like, I respected that kid. I thought he was just amazing. I liked at the end where they rode off into the sunset together back home. I didn't want her to die. I've seen, you know, too much sadness in this world. I don't need sadness in a book. So I'm really glad that she made it. I love the part. I love the part where he, you know, I think his parents were very hard on him. I think, you know, his dad was very cool, but like the wife was not. I didn't like the wife. I thought she was a little bit kind of bitchy. The mother, I think, just, you know, was thinking of herself. She had three other kids with another man, and he was the only kid in the house that really felt like an outsider, you know, and I would too, you know, and the stepfather you knew didn't like him. I can't imagine how uncomfortable that was, but I thought it was great that the mother finally caught on to what she was doing wrong and how she fixed everything, that he was able to go to the trial. I think that was really cool how when Isabel went into labor, he went to help her and left Mildred at the trial. The poor kid was back and forth. It was really cute. I really like that part, how they formed a friendship with the three Luises. I liked the family. I thought it was kind of sad when Luisa kind of came on to Raymond. I would have liked to seen the two of them together, but I guess Raymond really wasn't ready for a girlfriend at that time. He's a little immature with that, I think. But that was kind of sad. But, you know, it was really cute with her trying to come on to him and the family really liking him. You know, could you imagine going to somebody else's house and are you the right one? I couldn't do that. And the lawyer, the other Luis, the lawyer, he was awesome too. Just to be able to help, even though they lost the trial, which was very sad, I'm really glad that he told them to sue Sibley, the other Isabel to sue Sibley, because she really deserved that. And finally, I'll just say, with the woman who killed Luis Velez, I won't get on the gun control issue, but what she did wasn't right, because she was not in a dangerous situation. I don't know why she did what she did. I don't know what she thought she was doing. I don't believe she thought he was taking her purse. He wasn't even right. He wasn't even right there. So I don't know what that was all about. But I'm really glad that, glad that she was sued and had to pay something. That would have been horrible if this lawyer didn't take the case on and them her getting away with nothing. That's just not right. But I thought it was also nice for her daughter and her son to sit with Mildred while Raymond was helping Isabel, because they didn't have to do that, you know, they were kind enough. And I think they knew their mother was wrong in some sense, you know, how could you not? But all in all, I think I rated this a 5 on Goodreads. This was great.
Good. Well, good point. And I like that. I mean, she actually made Raymond was asexual and stuff. And I think she was making the point that there are people that are like that, and there's no right or wrong. I mean, accept yourself for what you are, and then you'll find people that are out there that are like you, and not, but you know, be yourself. And so I thought that was a good point. I mean, she did a good job of making that point. Yeah,
I also thought that Luisa was very sweet, and like kids today, they accept each other.
You have to now. You really do. Yeah. Because it would just be a disaster if you didn't. One more thing, Alan, I wanted to add. I thought it was really you know, cool how that really not cool, but nasty of that teacher. The English teacher loved the paper, but as a social studies teacher, what is wrong with her not to like the paper? I mean, he did a great job with it.
Yeah, she was horrible. Yeah.
Just
another person that thought wrong and thought all white people were right about everything.
You know, I think she must have been a Republican.
Yeah. I think
most likely. Yeah.
I think she probably was. Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, she missed the boat entirely. But, anyway. And I hope she fell in the water, but whatever. Yep. Okay, good comment, Shelley. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sherry Wells.
Okay. At first, I didn't think I was going to like it. The book seemed contrived and a little overly sentimental to me at first. I was really glad he saved the cat. And I just thought when he was starting to look for Luis, it would have been perfectly normal for him to say, tell me about Luis, you know, where did he live? Was he married? Did you ever meet his wife? Just to get some little clues to help him search out Luis. Right. But I'm glad I stuck with the book, because once we hit the trial, I really liked the book the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. And certainly the one word you can use to describe this book is nice. And there were so many nice people in here. I did struggle a little bit. I just don't know if there's that many people that are going to be giving him $100 and stuff, but right. It was nice. Enjoyed the trial, even though unfortunately it ended up going badly. I didn't like the ending either. I wanted to hear the civil trial. I just wanted to see her get her due. I didn't want to see Mildred die or anything, but I just wanted another couple chapters to see the civil trial and know for sure that she lost and have them be happy and satisfied with that. And of course, all in all, Alan, you made the point that Raymond was asexual. I thought that was really interesting in this book that she brought that up. It was good, because it's good for her to have all kinds of people here and have them be accepted and stuff. And that was a good thing to bring up too, since we all liked Raymond, and everybody that reads this book is going to like him and maybe be more accepting of people like him. That was a good thing to do.
Right.
And that's really all I have to say.
Yeah, and Shelley made the comment that you don't find many kids that were as nice as hell. You don't find anybody that was as nice as this guy is. I mean, adults, kids, whatever. It's sad. I mean, people are too busy trying to do their own thing and worry about their own self and not ever trying to think about their fellow their fellow humans and stuff.
This would never have been a nonfiction book.
I think that those kind of heroes do exist, but we just don't hear about them, because that's not the kind of people that's written about. But here and there throughout life, I believe those people like Raymond do exist, but we just don't, they're not people that they write famous stories about, so we got to have a novel.
Well, the way I look at it is, I've got to believe that there are some truly good people out there, because if I don't believe that, then what's the point,
There is.
I've got some good friends. I mean, there really is. But
I know. I've got good friends too. But
yep, absolutely.
There's lots of good people out there. Anytime I travel, I run into them, because they always help me when I'm at the airport. So if I ask people for help, and they're all nice and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's just, that's a really good point, Alan. There are a lot of nice people out there that try to be helpful. And
you get to watch in the news, and that's where you get all this, and it's all the bad stuff happens every day. But most of the people that you meet are pretty nice. Take this group here. Most of the people we meet is pretty nice for the most part. There are some of the others, but most of the people.
Good points. Say again?
Somebody just raised their hand.
We got Alan and Nancy.
Nancy Younger, I think you're the last one, if I've kept up right.
I've been listening all along. Thank God for Shirley. I almost forgot to look. I forgot about. I read the book. I loved it, and I'm listening to every. I mean, just about everyone said what I was going to say. But what I really liked is, people were paying it forward and all right and left. I mean, there was so much kindness in the book, and when I liked that attorney. I forgot which one. I think it was the defense attorney actually who was it? I mean, who suggested to Raymond to you know, go to the original, whatever that the attorney Velez, and try to help make sure that this woman who shot Louis Velez was had accountability. And it was neat that the neighbors had a block party for Isabel. I mean, Raymond wanted it to be for Millie, but she said no, absolutely not. I mean, even though he was my caregiver, he was you know, she didn't say it, but he was Isabel's husband. And I thought there were just so many acts of kindness. And unfortunately, Raymond's dad was okay, but then his wife was, his dad's wife was terrible. But I'm just glad that Millie finally got out of her shell and was willing to accompany, you know, him to see the cellist, to hear the cellist, and he was really, I think Raymond was very intelligent. He had a lot of insight. He had a lot of empathy, and I really enjoyed the book. I won't go on and on because I know it's time's almost up, but I would read more of her books. Thank you.
Well, good comments, Nancy. And I did not deliberately lead you for last, but you were muted a lot of time. You were at the bottom, and then you unmuted and you jumped up to the top, and it was hard for me to the
keep order.
That's okay. You're forgiven. Mr. Lemley.
The order jumps around a lot of times.
The names definitely move.
They move around. So I really don't have anything to add. I mean, everybody's covered all the points, and I've interjected as I went. There were a couple of scenes I wanted to mention real quick. Let's see. Okay, I really liked the scene when Mildred was talking to, well, there were a lot of good scenes when she was talking to Raymond and just sharing her wisdom with life and stuff. And there's that scene where she's talking about, you know, they're talking about people and people, you know, doing bad things. And she says, I can't remember if it was Mark Twain or Will Rogers that said, I'd rather be the man that bought the Brooklyn Bridge than the man who sold it. And I thought that, you know, that is so true. So, you know, you'd rather be duped and do something inadvertently, you know, maybe not the wisest thing in the world, than be the person that was cheating somebody. And it was actually, it was Will Rogers that said that. So I did look it up and could confirm that. So let's see. I really did like the prosecutor. He worked his butt off trying to get this woman to pay for her, what she had done. And he felt so bad at the end of the thing, but I thought his comments that he made to Raymond after the trial was over about tribalism and stuff, I thought were very insightful and stuff. So I thought that was a very good scene.
Yeah, and it gave Raymond a good way to finish his report.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and I love that scene with the cellist that people have already mentioned. That was such a good scene. And the cellist was very wise. I mean, he made some very wise comments about sadness and, you know, and the music and stuff. And it just the book had a lot of good, insightful things. And if we just work hard to try to understand our fellow human beings and just try to, you know, not always put our own problems first. Yeah. I mean, the world will be a whole lot better place.
Yeah, I thought it was was insightful than when Malcolm was trying to explain his wife's attitude toward Raymond. It had nothing to do really with Raymond. It had to do with her own insecurity.
Right, right.
Was married to someone else before she was ever in the picture.
Right, right.
I was liking the scene. Mildred, she was down to her last can of soup, and she was eating a quarter of the can a day to stay alive.
Oh, right.
You wonder, does she have no one at all who knows her and helps her? Then I thought maybe at 92, she had outlived all of her family and those who knew and loved her, and that's why she was alone.
I had one thing
that would have been nice is if they... go ahead, Jenna.
I'm sorry. I had a little different view of the father than some people. I think he really did love Raymond, but I thought he was weak. And he, yeah, okay, maybe his wife had her own insecurities, but she's an adult. She needs to try to deal with that. Mm-hmm. He's a child, and he doesn't understand that, and he's still being formed, and he should have stood up to the women in his life and said, no, you will not continue to treat my son this way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, really. But I think, though, that it was also profoundly, Raymond understood that his father was more like him, mm-hmm. that it wasn't that he didn't care, it was that he had a hard time expressing his feelings.
Yeah.
Not that he didn't have them. He just didn't know how to do anything with them. And what mm-hmm. made Raymond so brave was the battle he was fighting wasn't his. It was for somebody else. He went through all of this because, not because he wanted to. That's one of the reasons why he didn't ask her more questions, was he didn't want to give her hope if there wasn't any.
He wouldn't have had to give her hope, though. He could have just, it would have been like showing interest.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you had this Luis guy. Tell me about him. What was he like?
That would not have given her hope. No, that would not have given her,
but
like,
to him, it was hard to do.
Yeah, clearly.
In that regard, he was like his father. He had a hard time expressing things, and he felt them very deeply, but to talk to her more about it, to him, seemed intrusive.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad but true. I mean, you're right. Yeah. That was part of his upbringing, and he didn't want to intrude. He didn't want to be nosy. You know.
All right. Yeah. And he was still buying the boy.
Yeah. This goes a little to the background, but I was thinking too that she's 92. I don't know how long she'd been blind. But it's interesting that she never got hooked up with any social services. I mean, you don't even know if she had talking books or anything like that. And
doesn't sound like it.
In a big city like New York, there would have been tons of things that would have been helpful for her. But maybe she just, like we all said, outlived everybody that could have introduced her to those things.
Because
I think there are a lot of blind people.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
She did say that... Luis gave her those audiobooks about quantum mechanics.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was her phone not working? And so that's why if her phone wasn't working, so she couldn't contact anybody, stand out on the thing and try to get someone to pay attention to her.
Mm-hmm. She didn't have a phone. I think they mentioned her phone at one point.
Even if she did, she didn't know anybody.
I think there are a lot of blind people that are in Millie's situation.
Especially older people.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's so much harder to adjust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And they don't know what to do and how to deal with their blindness.
Mm-hmm.
And Millie did a pretty good job.
She did.
Yeah.
And you wonder if she ever had, I mean, she had a cane, so she had to get that from somewhere and find out about canes and stuff.
And then they talk about red and white. That red and white cane, what's
up
with that?
Yes, LaDon, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I think she went through a private agency when she had Luis Velez assigned to her as a caregiver. But so she was doing private pay because she had adequate income. Her husband had done well enough. So she didn't go to the regular social services. She went to one of those companies that you pay them out of pocket.
Did they say that in the book? If that's the case, though, Deanna,
if that's the case, couldn't she have called the company to say, hey, Luis hasn't done your...
Right.
They went under. They ran out of money. They couldn't pay their bills.
Where was all this? I totally missed that part. I don't remember that either. It's in there.
I remember reading that, and he kept coming to her after he was no longer being paid to.
Right. Okay.
Just because he worried about her.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think in the book there was so much empathy and kindness and just goodness.
Yeah.
People that, you know, there were a couple people that were nasty and awful. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the majority were so kind and willing to help. And the block party for, what's her name?
Isabel.
Isabel, right.
Yeah.
And her children.
Yes. And that was so wonderful. And Millie had such a wonderful time there. And she got to dance and things that she hadn't done for years and years. And I know throughout the book, I was just afraid that she was going to die. And yes. I did not want her to die. And throughout the book, I worried, oh my God, now she's going to die. And is she going to be alone? Is she going to be, will Raymond be there? Or will he miss out on being with her? And, oh, I was very attached to this book. I thought it was a little contrived when he found so many Louis Valdez's, and then one of them was the right one, and he was the one that had been killed.
Yeah.
And
Joni, didn't it scare you when they just told her that Louise died and she wasn't getting up for a whole week? I was actually getting scared. She wasn't eating, she wasn't drinking, being dressed, nothing.
I know. That was very scary.
That scared me too.
That scared me.
and not only did she not die, she cut the rug at that block party got the biggest, the most applause for her dancing and stuff. Yeah. So that was a very nice touch. But anyway. Okay.
I have a comment or question, and I'll be fast.
Go, Jeannie.
When LaDawn was talking, it kind of brought back things. And to me, it brought back how my book was read. And it was like a play. And I don't think Joni's was like that. I think it was, they had two people or so, and they were talking in different voices. And it was just like a play. And I got so involved in it. It was fabulous.
Maybe you got the book from Audible.
Yeah, did anybody else have a book read, just regular, or was it like mine, like a play?
We had one guy, but he didn't.
No, one reader. Just one reader. Yeah.
Sally, what you want? The one you read, did you read the one from Audible?
No, I read Kindle.
Kindle.
Kindle, okay.
I read it on Kindle.
Okay, all right. Well, that's interesting. Who narrated the book? Do y'all remember?
I don't remember.
Nobody I'd never heard of.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. Something Elfman, was it?
Kurt Elfman. Kurt Elfman, maybe? Kurt Elfman.
That sounds great, Ellen.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm glad the Audible one was good, and I'm glad you enjoyed it, Judy. That's fantastic.
Thanks for letting me join you.
You're always welcome, Judy. You're always welcome at any of our book groups. You know that, whether you've read them or not. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, well, it's 11 after 9, and next month's book is another Catherine, May 21st, 2024. The book is... Hello, Stranger by Catherine Center. The DB number is... 115383. That is 115383. Yeah, I've enjoyed all the other Catherine Center books
too.
I've read. So good. And happiness is for beginners, right, Sally? Yeah.
works for me.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It was a very good meeting. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, great. Thanks, everybody.
And we have a good inheritance.
Yeah.
On Friday night.
Yeah, we'll be back Friday night.
Yeah, we will.
That's right. Nora Roberts, Inheritance, at Novel Ideas.
I hope the second one comes out soon.
Inheritance.
Yeah.
Does anybody know if the second one is out yet?
No, not yet. Randy might know. We can ask him Friday.
Oh, is there a
trilogy?
Is it going to be a series?
It's a trilogy. Yeah, it's a trilogy. Yeah.
Oh, Joni, it's a fun read. It's kind of, there's some scary parts to me, but it's really fun.
Yeah, there are some really cool ghosts in there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll see you on Friday. Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you, Ellen. Right.
Thank you all for coming.
I just have a question.
Mm-hmm. Ask it.
Bye bye. Is Inheritance part of a series? Did you guys say that it is?
Yeah.
It's the first book in the trilogy.
It's the first book in the trilogy.
Oh,
yes.
Nora
Roberts.
We don't know.
But Nora Roberts has written several trilogies, but I don't know when the second one's supposed to come out. But the guy at the beginning of Inheritance talks about it being the first in a trilogy, I think, in the intro. So. Yeah.
Well, actually, Nora reads the first, gives a little opening thing, and she mentions that it's a trilogy.
Okay. Good deal.
I just didn't remember.
Okay. Very good. Thank y'all for coming.
I'm an old lady like Millie was, so, what can I do?
Well, you're not 92 yet, Joni.
Yes.
And you better make it.
You're young at heart. You're young at heart. That's all that matters.
Yep.
I'm planning to make it. Okay, take care, everybody.
All right. Bye. Good night, everybody. Thank y'all for coming. Okay.
Take care.
Thank you, Ellen.
Okay, you're welcome.